There you go.
Are you ready?
We're on, pal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is where you are, Mr. and Mrs. America. We appreciate you tuning in to the Comedy and Sports Attack here at enlightenedradio.org, which is produced by the original dusty-footed philosopher, Mr. John Case. My name is Michael Cucarini, here to talk about mostly DMV, what the kids refer to as the DMV. That would be D.C., Maryland, and Virginia sports. Whether they be at the pro level or some other level that caught our eye. We're just going to discuss that coming up in a minute. Talk about the Commanders, the Washington Commanders, which, again, is a shitty name. I don't like the name. I never have. Maybe Josh, the new owner, doesn't like it either. I'm not sure. I do know he didn't like having to negotiate and pay Montez Sweat or having to negotiate and pay Chase Young because they were both traded. One was Chase's San Francisco 49er now, and Montez Sweat just received a four-year $94 million extension from the Chicago Bears. So the Chicago Bears did play yesterday, and Tyson Bagent was starting for the third time in the NFL, Shepherdstown's or Shepherd University's, the Rams' former quarterback who broke all those records, is now, you know, an NFL quarterback. However, he did not win. He's 1-2 Oops. As a starter, which is okay. He played exceptionally well. Everyone knows he's a good ball player. To give you an idea of quarterbacks, let's keep in mind that we had Taylor Heineke. The last 2 years they were the Washington football team and then they became the Commanders. But Taylor Heineke took a much better contract to be a backup down in Atlanta for the Atlanta Falcons. And they benched their starting quarterback and Mr. Heineke started for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend and they lost. So that's unfortunate. But Sam Oops. Howell, who is the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders, had a great game. I think it's his third game with passing for over 300 yards. They actually won. I think they beat New England for the first time since 1996. So that's a long-ass time.
300? Did you say 300 yards?
Well over 300 yards passing. I can find the stats. I think it's like 360 or something. Yeah, like some ungodly, like it was like 38 for 44 passes, percentage wise, great stuff. They scored touchdowns when they needed to score touchdowns. They're still not a very great team. The defense is solid. I don't know what happened with Chase. I don't know what happened with Montez, other than Josh probably told the powers that be is we're not negotiating contracts with these two guys. So you might as well do what you can with them. So the idea came to trade them, and Chase is now in San Francisco, which makes San Francisco a pretty frightening defensive line because Chase is a very good football player. And let's face it, Chicago just got a hold of Montez Sweat, so he hasn't really acclimated. I don't think he started this past weekend. I think he will next week. And he'll probably make a difference. He's not a big time sack machine, but he's a great tackler. He can plug holes and do things for the Bears that they don't necessarily have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. The in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany, as I woke up in the morning and had my coffee, I learned that the NFL has expanded to travel internationally, so they were doing games from the stadium in Frankfurt, and the whole thing was packed. I mean, it was packed solid.
Oh, I'll bet.
It was the Kansas City Chiefs against the Miami Dolphins, and honestly, the Kansas City Chiefs kind of made the Dolphins look silly.
You know, it's my understanding, maybe you know better, that Frankfurt, Germany is like the Cambridge, Massachusetts of Germany in terms of like the university intellectual.
Oh, yeah. Big stuff, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Is that right? They love the American football. They love America.
Wow. They love it. Interesting.
It's funny because it was packed. And, you know, to us, it's like 9:30 in the morning. To them, it's like an afternoon. So you see people tailgating, of course, drinking beer, having a good time, screaming and yelling for their team. Uh-huh. It looked like you could see some of the other fans in the audience trying to train their German friends. Right. Like, this is where we cheer. This is where in fact, when the official called the first penalty,
yeah,
he called it in German.
Did was they playing a German, you know?
No. It's Kansas City Chiefs against the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, playing in Frankfurt. Right. Oh, wow.
Now that would be interesting
to see the various reviews, because it's my understanding that, you know, apart from the crowds, I'll take the crowds out of it and their possible violence, okay? But that the game of professional football in the U.S. is basically a much more violent game than professional soccer in Europe. But I've watched both, you know, for years at various times, mostly American football. But I just wonder how culturally that plays in Europe, especially Germany. You know, it's interesting, you know, how they reacted to that kind of football, so-called.
Jerry, so let's keep in mind that Germany had a football team in the World Football League.
Oh, they did? I didn't know.
There's some guys, actually, I think, in the league now. There's two guys in the league that played there in Germany.
Huh.
They were born Americans that had their families had relocated to Germany for obvious reasons, for military reasons or whatever, and maybe State Department. And they were raised there, and they played football there, and they always wanted to play professional football. So, you know, when the ad comes, said, hey, come out and try out, they tried out and made that team. So, and not only that, they went on to, I think one of them played for the Chargers for a couple of years. One of them played for the Cincinnati Bengals for a couple of years. They're both gone now. So this was a while ago. So, interesting that it was there. You know, it's a dynamic that I think the NFL is going to have a really hard time with, because they're exploring having a team both in England and in Germany. And that's going to be really hard because essentially if you're in the NFL and you're playing for the German Monarchs, that's the name of the team, and they're an NFL franchise,
right?
They'll have to come over here and stay in a facility here for a long period of time.
That's expensive.
It's like, then you got to turn around, and every team has to fly to Germany now.
Yeah, so that's...
You got every team in your division, I should say. And how expensive is that going to be?
That's a lot. You know,
That's
a lot of traffic. So and plus, you know, you take a 6-hour or 7-hour flight, you know, you need some recovery time, plus the time zone change.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
which is amazing because Miami went over there much earlier than KC did. Miami went over there like at the beginning of last week.
Yeah. No,
Kansas City decided to fly over. I think it was Wednesday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you still have it. If you go on Wednesday, I believe you still have enough time to recover. You have to rest, though. You can't just practice right away. And I think the coaches understand that because they have to fly, too. So.
When I was going back and forth to the UK for Microsoft, you needed a night's sleep. You're best off if you got there, you know, a little early. You know, don't take a nap, you know. You know,
I love checking into my hotel room early and taking a nap. That was my favorite thing.
Well, I tried to avoid it because
the shows weren't until, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So I check in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, man, I'm taking a nap.
Well, you know, cause it was, you know, by the time you had to show up for work, I mean, it was usually pretty intense. You know, these companies had usually got themselves into trouble with security and hadn't.
Right.
You know, they had not. They really hadn't installed this. They're supposed to hire us to install the equipment, the software, can figure out
ah,
all this other shit.
So you decided, you were the Daffy Duck.
Yeah, they said, oh, we can do it ourselves.
Because or no, Elmer, I think it was Elmer Fudd, because Daffy pressed the button and a push button home.
Yeah, right. You know.
Then it shot all the way up to the space, and I think it was Bugs that said, you know, hey, for a small fee, I can install this little green button to get you down.
You know, I remember one of the clients saying, why should we spend all this money for you to come here? And he says, well, I have a special glue that only the company Microsoft possesses, and that we spray this glue all over your stuff and you don't have any problems. But if you don't have this glue sprayed all over it, it'll probably, you'll make it so it won't work in about 3 days.
Okay, so we're getting into the
glue weeds,
with regards to sports and comedy.
I'm sorry. I just stick in the software world so long.
There was a young man on Saturday Night Live who's been a comic who's been around a very long time. I think his name is Nate Burke. I can't remember his last name, but he's very funny. And I just celebrate the fact that a lot of people tore him apart, I guess, on it for his performance on SNL. I didn't get a chance to see it. I know the guy's funny. I've seen him before doing stand-up. He's hilarious. And he also got to go on SportsCenter and be the celebrity guest picker to pick the college football games. And I thought that was just – I saw him on there. I was like, man, good for you, dude.
Do you still watch SNL?
I TiVo it, or I should say record it.
Yeah.
And I'll watch some of it, but it's
I hadn't watched it
too
in...
old. You know, I just turned 60, so
yeah.
I'm getting too old. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't justify anything. It's like, I just turned 60.
I watched it.
A lot of people out there were like, a lot of people lost bets, man, because I made it 60.
I watched Saturday Night Live monologue by Taylor Swift. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that girl is clever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she knows how to make herself. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, you're just a joke. Let me tell you, she understands the joke better than you do.
Hey, guess what? Guess what, asshat? She just reached billionaire status.
Yeah,
so
I know.
And she's a billionaire.
And
I'm saying she doesn't know what she's doing.
The reason
she knows
I
exactly what she's doing.
I know, but wait a minute. And the reason that I found this particular video was I was reading an article about the Argentine presidential election, about which I know next to nothing. All I know is that the more conservative candidate was in trouble. He had been leading, but now he was in trouble because of Swifties, among other groups, okay, who didn't like him, you know, because of something, you know, whatever. And then there was this link to Taylor's thing on Saturday Night Live, and she did it as a song called My Monologue, okay?
Right.
And she killed it.
She was on here. Wasn't it recently? Or was that last year?
I think it might have been last year. I don't know that it was the current one, you know, because
it might have been 2 years ago. I mean,
it was linked from this video on Argentina,
Well, the one thing you can't say about her is she doesn't take care of her people, because she does.
She does. That's right.
Very much.
I know.
So.
I see. She showed up on the picket line at SAG at the SAG picket line. Good for her.
Yep. Today, I guess late last night, the producers and directors issued what they said was their final offer, best and final.
Right.
And apparently SAG is looking at it this morning, and I don't think it's going well. So they're not, I don't think the actors are real happy with what has been provided back to them. So we'll have to wait and see on that. As far as stand-up goes, we're in kind of a holding pattern right now and trying to find a date that satisfies both myself and Carol Montgomery, who is just one of the funniest ladies. Never mind, just one of the funniest comics you'll ever see.
Right.
She's brilliant. Cool. She's brilliant stand-up. And she's a great lady, and she's just been busting her ass forever, and she deserves every bit of the success she's achieving now, because nobody works harder in the business. Nobody.
No.
I'm pleased and looking forward to talking to her. If you have some questions relative to stand-up comedy that, you know, John, that are appropriate.
I will restrain myself, brother. I
gotta give John shit, whatever.
You know, I mean, it's just, I used to live in the Beatnik Hotel, you know, and it was hilarious. You weren't supposed to respond, except you could only respond indirectly to anything that was said. You never could. It was against the law to respond directly.
So somebody would say something to you, and you'd have to say something to somebody else to say, yeah, hey, tell that guy that said something to me that I need him to shut up.
You know, you would give them a response that would be like perpendicular to where they were looking and going.
Right.
Look above you. It's in the trees. It's in the trees above you, pal.
In a summary of like 6 or 7 beautifully eloquent words, John just drives this show right off the fucking cliff. It's awful.
I'm so sorry.
I love it. Don't be sorry. And we were also, we were the purveyors of the Moose Turd Cafe.
Yes.
For a long time. John was excited. Now, I made a suggestion. I'm not going to make it here. We just know you and I made it off the air that we would call it something else so we could be inclusive with all of our excrement.
We would not be
perfectly executed excrement right there on a sandwich.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody, there's waste coming from lots of places, and it's not only the moose. Okay, so anyway.
No, it's not. If you had a cabin in Maine, it might be the moose, but right now you don't, and I don't either.
Well, and if you were in New Mexico, it might be, you know, a nuclear moose.
Jesus. Okay, local football here with Shepherd.
Yeah.
The Shepherd Rams played on Saturday here at home, and they won. They won big. The team that they played Saturday is East Stroudsburg, and East Stroudsburg had lost one game. They came in, I think, 8-1, Shepherd basically dismantled them. I think the final score was 44-17. Now the interesting thing is that one loss that they had before was to Kutztown, and Kutztown beat the shit out of Shepherd 20-3. Now, Shepherd lost. They dropped the game that they shouldn't have dropped the week before. So they're 7-2 with one game left. So I believe if they're 8-2 at the end of the year, they'll probably go to the playoffs. So
they don't get to play Kutztown again unless they do.
If they see him in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Structurally. Okay. Yeah. The way the system's set up, I think they could.
So you think that's was it just a bad day at Black Rock for the Rams?
When they lost to Kutztown, I just didn't think they had the upfront line play was suspect. Now they've got some injuries, but they're also getting a bunch of guys back this coming week who are pretty formidable. Now they won this past week without those guys, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have to have all of them back to win.
Yeah.
Their quarterback played exceptionally well this past week. I'll give him a lot of credit. He played well. Now, the weirdest thing is I think this is the sequence of events. They fumbled the ball driving into East Stroudsburg territory. East Stroudsburg grabbed the ball, drove all the way down the field, scored a touchdown. So the very next play on offense after East Stroudsburg had kicked the ball off for the kickoff after their score, Shepherd got the ball. I think it was like the 31-yard line. The first play, Shepherd, the quarterback, threw an interception. So, you know, everybody's like, shit. Because, you just fumbled it and they drove down the field and scored. Now they're getting closer. And I think the score was like something like, 24 to 17 or 14 or something at that point. So Shepard lines up to play defense against East Stroudsburg, who had just picked off the pass. They throw a pass, and one of our guys picks it off and takes it all the way to the house. Scores a touchdown. Wow.
Yeah.
So exactly like we planned it, John.
Yeah, that's almost a that's also a Moose Turd Cafe story right there.
It is. It's just like the this past weekend, I saw one of the touchdowns was completed. Somebody completed a pass by bouncing the ball off of someone's helmet.
Wow. Okay.
That's hit very. The guy's helmet flew up in the air to the back of the end zone, and the other guy was just standing there wide open. He grabbed the ball. It was a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you man, you got to take it any way you can. You got to take it any way you can.
Every time also, I.
go ahead, John.
Every time I think about sitting down and spending 2 or 3 hours watching a football game or a baseball game on TV, a football game, is that I think since my philosophy now at age 76, you know, almost 77, is that since every day is gravy, right? But I really want to spend 3 hours of the gravy watching TV, and I feel guilty about doing it.
Well, the reality, John, is you don't even have
weird.
To. Yeah, you don't even have to watch. I don't watch every game. What I do is...
You just keep it on so you can see the good
stuff. I
keep
it on in the background, and I'm doing stuff. That's true. I don't let it affects true. My chores sometimes if it's a game that's really, really... I want to see it.
I like watching it. It's just that I feel like it's a guilty pleasure, you know, sometimes, you know. I should be doing something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. I think sometimes I'm watching it going, man, what am I doing?
I mean, you're consuming.
You know, I'm like looking at the screen going, who? Yeah. I'm 60 years old. Why am I watching this shit? But then I think about it, and traditionally, I played the game for a long time. I coached a little bit, not as much as I played. My brothers and my dad were all very much into football when we were kids.
Yeah.
My older brother, Tom, does not like football. He doesn't watch it anymore. My younger brother, Jim, occasionally from time to time, I don't think he's glued to the TV over it, but he still watches it, and he hangs out, you know, at home while he's watching football.
We went to baseball games, the Senators baseball games, quite a bit. My dad liked that, but he didn't like watching football. Especially in a stadium.
The live baseball, live professional baseball.
It's a lot of fun.
I recommend everybody go to because it's awesome.
It really is. It's a great game to a spectator game. And, you know, I mean, even the last time I went to a pro ball game with a friend of mine at work, you know, I just, I said, fortunately, I did have binoculars, okay? But even so, okay, I mean... Two times out of five, I couldn't see that fucking handoff. Excuse me, my language. I apologize. I couldn't see it. And I was following the fake all the way around the other side of the field.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. Hey, man. Hey, look. I just saw a whole camera crew get faked out by a college quarterback.
Oh.
Same thing. Okay. Same thing. The guy looked like he handed it off to the running back, and he just pulled the ball out kind of quietly tucked it on his right hip.
Right.
Everybody, the defense, everybody, that there was a tight shot of like the it was like fourth and one.
Right.
And it that one was to get into the end zone. So they just panned in really close to the big pile of humanity after the play. And the quarterback just like just ran around like, nobody can see me. I have the ball. And look, I'm in the end zone. Touchdown. So, you know, and the camera crew was like, even the announcers were like, wow, he really got us on that one.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Well, so, that's what happened to me. I mean, too much to get. I kept feeling.
Right.
Like, no, you know.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. I totally understand that. It's kind of like watching hockey. You can't find the puck.
Yeah. Who has the puck?
You know, it's just I couldn't find it because I unbeknownst to me my eyes were shit. So my wife suggested I go get my eyes checked and they were shit, sure enough. Had to get glasses. And
that's right.
As soon as I got my glasses a couple of years back, the first damn thing I did was watch hockey. I was like, I want to see the puck.
Yeah, right. Okay, I understand.
Then I could finally see it, so that was good. And to me, I like the game of hockey. My wife does not.
Yeah.
So she's not a big. I love the Capitals. I always love the Capitals. I've kind of been an in and out kind of fan. Not really, just kind of on the cusp, but making sure I pay attention to what's going on during the regular season. They're having a tough season. You know, Ovechkin's getting older. Nicky Backstrom just. God bless him. That's the other big news from last week. Nicky Backstrom has stepped away from the team because of all of his injuries he's accumulated. There is a very real possibility that Nicholas Backstrom will retire. Very much what we saw with Steven Strasburg. Nicholas Backstrom's had some surgeries, some reparative stuff, and it's got to weigh on your body big time.
Right.
So he made the decision for the best of for himself and the team as he step away now and just not play hard.
Well,
that's hard, man. That's a tough decision, especially for somebody who's been playing for as long as he has. Ovechkin, Alex Ovechkin's not getting any younger. Let's just put it that way.
What are you gonna do after you if you based it on sport, when you're too old to compete in the sport, I see a lot of people went toward golf.
And there's a lot of folk that out there that actually are there's two things that you see former players in a lot of different sports do, especially this holds true, I think, with both baseball, with all three of the major three, baseball, football, and basketball. You're either a broadcast material or you're a coach. Those are the two options you can take up on. Or the reality is if you wanted to go to work for your team, like, for example, do you remember Gerardo Parra in 2019 that played for the Nationals?
No, not really.
Well, they brought him in halfway through the year. He had played for the Giants, the San Francisco Giants. They brought him in, and he's the one that went up to bat to the Baby Shark. He made the song, Mama Shark, Daddy Shark, and he kept doing that, you did for the kids. And he loved it because his kids loved the song.
Yeah.
So that's why that was his walk-up music. And
I see.
As soon as he joined the team, and as soon as they got Trey Turner back, they started winning. The reason why I mentioned that is next year, the first base coach for the Washington Nationals is going to be Gerardo Parra.
Interesting.
That's great news.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know, you got him and then others. But like Chris Spielman, who played for Detroit for years as a linebacker, is now one of the assistant vice presidents of the Detroit Lions.
Hey, I got a technical football question to ask you.
Oh, God, please don't. But go ahead.
Okay. So quarterbacks, when everybody lines up and the quarterback does a call of some kind, right? 2, 4, 6, 8, pike me, whatever.
Well, he's looking at the defense and judging what is the best. If the call that he sent to his earpiece and the play that he called in the huddle looks as if it's going to work, the quarterback goes ahead and executes the coach's wishes. However, in the NFL and in high school and in college right now, there's audibles. So you'll immediately hear the quarterback go, check, check, check. And that means check with him. You may have had a play that was like unbalanced line to the left. Our power side's going to be to the left and we want to run the ball to the left because that's where our best blocking is.
Yeah.
But there may be somebody some safety or somebody that's crept up a little bit real tight. So the quarterback's looking at that going, we can get past that guy. I can send my tight end right down the middle. So he'll go check, check, check. Red shift. Flank one, 42's to Mike. Ready, hut! And they'll snap it. And he'll fake the handoff and then throw it to the tight end. See, that's that's the ebb and flow of the game. It's all improvisational now.
Now, my question was, when you were doing that, what I just wondered whether you could have an interesting quarterback set of calls that were put to a tune.
Oh, that's funny.
You know,
and what I wanted to see see them go back to more like everyday objects. Like the quarterback could go something like, high speed blender, ready, convection oven.
Yeah, right.
Vacuum. You know,
like for example, you want to, you know, maybe get something that might get the other team a little off balance, right? Just a little bit shook up. Suppose you started singing the national anthem. it was going to cause some kind of synapse delay for some.
Dude, if I was up and I was playing against someone and like I was on like either kickoff or if I was up tight and I could talk to the defense and I was lined up for like punt team or whatever and I was a blocker and I could see the guy across, I'd start doing like Monty Python stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Although I would be like, sport the loony. This is the convention of silly walks. Everybody online being, God damn it, coach, shut up. Oh, look, my camera's working a little bit.
Yeah, it is. It's back to the old blur. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, the old blur.
I'm not doing that. I know why. Now I know why. Because when I set up my computer this morning, I did not have the camera plugged in. I have to reset my computer, have the camera plugged in when I reset it, and then it will pick it up as the actual camera. Yeah.
You'd probably have to restart Zoom to do that.
Oh, yeah. I have to restart everything.
Well, you might not have. Well, yeah, you might. Depends.
Yeah, you might. Rather
because, so. You know, whether or not, like, you know, when the machine reboots, I can't there's a little algorithm that decides how it's set. If the device you're talking about, like a camera, had not been set as a default device before you reboot, okay, if it was like unset or something like that, well then the machine will reboot and assign probably the oldest hardware, I mean, the original hardware device, even if it's not that good, they'll just by default pick that. You know. So.
All right, well, John, we're coming up on 45 minutes here.
Oh my God, it's 45 minutes and I was headed into computer configuration, which is really a bad thing. You know, it's just a bad language. By the way, listen, man,
let me just mention something to you real quick.
Yeah.
Go to Facebook. If you need to send her our information, her name is Carol Montgomery, and you'll find her on Facebook.
A future interview.
Send her a friend request and say who you are.
Okay. I'll say that I know you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Mention my name and you,
Carol Montgomery. I will.
She recognizes me by Mike Diesel, so you can use Mike Diesel if you want to.
Oh, right. You know. Well, that's
all right, my brother.
All right, buddy.
Great job, everybody out there in internet land that bothered to listen to this. God, what is wrong with you?
Exactly. I know. Go get a life. Come on. Okay.
Good day, sir.
Bye-bye.